Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
There we go. Okay, so look, I stand a good chance of being excommunicated from the church. Luckily, we have Bill here and Dave and Terry to just keep order if things get out of hand. But it's going to be a sermon that you probably haven't heard much before, and in a slight fashion that you would not have experienced before either. So, without further ado, we're going to go into it. I call it the Pilgrim's Progress, part one. And there's a reason for that. Steve asked me to preach on discipleship. And just to say that on Mondays from next year, we're going to be starting a discipleship series. Steve has put a lot of effort to it. There are a whole lot of different speakers that are going to be preparing, and teachers that are going to be preparing to equip you as a congregation for what God is about to do in the church. We are trusting, believing that numbers are going to be coming. I mean, I was praying for two gentlemen that walked in through the door, and as they were walking along the road here, God said, go in that door and be saved. And they came here and they were saved. And that was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And that is going to be the norm. We're trusting. That is going to be the norm. And you need to be ready. You need to be ready. Not me, not Bill, not Alex. You guys are. And so we are equipping you for what God is doing in His church. And through this. And so I call it part one because I realize there's no ways I'm going to get through all of this. And we'll see if there is a part two, okay, let's just see here. Yeah, this thing comes and goes. I hope it's not a flat battery. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll just like lift my finger and you can hit the next slide. Okay, so let's do it that way. Okay, so the Pilgrim's Progress was written by this guy Bunyan, who, believe it or not, was a Protestant in the 1600s, 1640. Let me go through to my notes quickly here. And he was in jail for preaching the grace message, in essence. That was it. So Steve got off lightly. And he wrote this book while he was in jail. And basically, the Church of England was the state church at the time. And they put a law out that said, if you're not part of the state church, you can be a Catholic, you can be Jewish, but if you're Protestant and not Church of England, into jail you go. And the jails were full of people, and eventually they had to abolish the law. But he wrote this while in jail, and it is supposedly the first book that was ever translated into English. Well, no, the first English book to ever be put into print. Obviously, the Bible was put into print, but that was in Latin, all sorts of things. And it's the only one of the few books that has never been out of print since the 1600s. And it was also translated into 200 languages. And this is not what I'm going to be preaching on, because I can't speak Old English. Hit the next slide there. Okay, this is my version. Okay, the comic version. So if you've got ADD and you can't speak 1600 English, this is your version. That's how we're going to operate today. So as I said, this could be my last time up here. Next slide, please. And so we're talking about this pilgrim's journey. Now, you can't read the small text. That's okay. Neither can I. So I'm going to make it up as we go. But it's written in the form of a dream. So there's this guy, Pilgrim. His name is Fearful at the start, and he changes his name to Christian. And we're going to talk about Christian's journey in the context of discipleship. And he starts off in the city of destruction. I put A there, a big arrow. You can't miss it. And at the top there is the celestial city, which is heaven, and there's an O. Did you guys get it? Alpha, Omega, okay. That was like sort of my attempt at biblical teaching. Okay, next slide. Okay, and this is how he starts. So our hero is part of the world. He actually looks kind of how I felt yesterday. So maybe I haven't gone on this journey. And he's embedded in this world, and he knows there's something wrong. And he feels part of the society where he's just a cog in a wheel, and he's looking for change. Next slide. Thanks. And so what happens is he has an encounter with an evangelist, called the evangelist. And in this, he knows that there's guilt upon his shoulders. And you'll see in some of the pictures that go forward, I hope, don't worry about trying to read the cartoon text, but he carries a pack on his back, which is the burden of guilt. And you can see Psalm 38 verse 4 to 16, my guilt is overwhelming like a burden too heavy to bear. And so in the beginning of this journey, you'll see him in the next couple of slides with this pack on his back. And that's the guilt of the sin that he's carrying. And he has this meeting with evangelists, and he confesses he's afraid of what the future holds for him. He doesn't know where he's going and what is happening. And he chats to evangelists about this. And he's asking for help. And he said, you know, what must I do to be saved? And evangelist kind of just points him in the direction, because the decision has to be his, the journey is his to make. And so what we have here is he understands that he needs to ask himself a question, which is a great place to start. What must I do to be saved? I think Paul had this encounter with, what's the guy now? One of the Gentiles who comes to him and says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul goes on about Christ, and I'm not going to jump ahead of that now. And evangelist asks him, "Why are you still here? You know, come on, you need to get on this journey together, not together." And he says, "I don't know where I'm going." Okay, so the first thing is he knows he needs to be saved, but he doesn't know what to do about it. Next slide, thanks. Okay, so now what evangelist does is points him in the direction. He says, "Look, there's a shining light ahead, which is actually." Could be the celestial city, but it's not. It's the word of God, the revelation. And what evangelist is doing is giving him truth, or pointing him in the direction of where truth lies, which is represented as a light. And says, follow the truth, and you will find Christ through there. But it's going to be a bit of a journey. And so Christian packs his bags, leaves his family behind, because they are not Christians yet. And this journey, each person has to make it for themselves. And sometimes it might mean leaving a partner who's not a believer, and trusting that they will follow in the route. Next slide, please. And so he heads off, and he comes to a place called the Slough of Despond. Okay, and what it is just a place of despair. So he has this realization that he's a sinner. And he gets a little bit depressed about it. And like, he suddenly is convicted of the guilt that he is carrying. And he's also stuck in a place where he sees sin around him, and he's caught in the trappings of sin. Slide. Thanks. So what happens is on the journey, he took a friend with him. He says, come, you know, let's go together and find the city. And a couple of people mocked him and tried to stop him. One mate decides he's going to join him. But as soon as they hit this swamp of depression, his mate says, no, man, this is too much hard work. He's going back to the life. You know, is this the happiness you promised me? Chris says, does this look like eternal life? I'm going back home. And he heads off back home. He says, this is too much like hard work for me. And our Chris starts sinking a little bit in this depression and despondency. And let's go. Come, guys. And God sends someone to help him and pull him out. So God sends a helper, called helper, and he yanks him out and sets him on the other side. So what is happening here is that God knows that he's on a journey and has already prepared places. And helper says, look, if you had looked around, you would have found an easier path. There were stepping stones to get across here, but you missed out on that. But it's okay, I'm here. And he pulls him out of this place of depression. And sets him back on the path again. And we're talking about discipleship now. And so some of you are called to this role of helper, to find others that are starting this journey and to pull them out and get them back on. And from Psalm 40, verse 2, he says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." So this help is here. You know, God has sent through his Holy Spirit various people to help us on our way. And then, next slide, please. So then there's an interesting diversion. So he's got out of this, let's call it despondency of guilt laden. This and trappings of this world. He's not a born-again believer. He's still searching for salvation. And he comes across a city called the Village of Morality, which was very interesting. I mean, when I read the comic version of this, my interpretation was very different to when I actually read the physical book. And he comes across this guy called Mr. Worldly Wise. And Mr. Worldly Wise is a people that we meet on the way who have their own form of salvation. So what Mr. Worldly Wise says, "Hey man, I've been through this all before. It's good works that can save us. And you're on the wrong path. Yeah, there's a shortcut to heaven. The shortcut to heaven is simple. You know, just follow this particular path. It's okay. You listen to evangelists. Don't be silly, man. You listen to me. I've been there. I know it all." And, we come across this guy, Mr. Worldly Wise, all the time. And he thinks he has the answers, and he's got a shortcut to salvation. And the path of that evangelist set Christian on is a little bit too dangerous. And what happens is Christian starts following this path of Mr. Worldly Wise, which is actually a path of works, believe it or not. Now, that's why I said, you know, Bunyan was a grace guy. And he gets up this mountain. And he starts going higher and higher up the mountain. And as he goes higher, the burden on his back becomes heavier and heavier because he's trying to earn his salvation. And the weight of trying to earn and do all these good things, because what Worldly Wise said to him is, "No, man, you don't have to go through Christ, the wicket gate. You can just earn your way there, walk this path." And what he's finding is the law is killing him. And he's actually starting to fall off a cliff. And God sends evangelist again, who's watching him and brings him back online and saves him and says, "Hey, you know," and what Ezekiel 33 says is God speaking, and he says, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me." And basically what God is saying is that he appoints watchmen here amongst the body. And the watchmen are looking out for others to keep them on the path, to see if they're straying, in terms of trying to find other ways of getting to heaven. And so the watchman is a gift from God. He's not there to condemn. And as part of the whole discipleship issue or training, you're a watchman. You're called to be a watchman in this light to help those around you. It was very interesting. I was on a flight on Wednesday, all part of my preparation, early morning. And I got sandwiched. Well, I was on seat number C, which is the aisle seat. And there was a gentleman in seat A, which was the window seat, and a lady between the two of us. And the two on the outside got talking, and I was listening. I was actually, believe it or not, I was preparing. He was a Nigerian pastor, and I heard this conversation, and he was asking about going to church and all this sort of thing. And then he got on to law, man, and that's when I got involved. And he had written a book, and he was out to hunt down grace extremists, of which Joseph Prince was one and a couple of others. So we got into this friendly discussion with this poor young lady sandwiched in between for the full 45 minutes. It kind of got, I'd like to say it didn't get heated, but probably it did. And, you know, we were never going to meet halfway, but that's okay. Sorry, go back. But there are people that are trying to worldly wise, and this guy knew it all. He knew it all. He knew the scriptures backwards, and he could point to every work that you had to do. And he brought back the Ten Commandments and so forth. But then evangelist my job was to bring this lady back to grace, because she was a churchgoer, and, you know, we had our own conversation. And so that is part of our role. So the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law, as you've heard many times, I hope, from Steve, is that the law brings you to a knowledge of sin, but it can't save you. And okay, and so evangelist sets him back on. He says, come, you've got a second chance. There's the gate over there. Next slide, thanks. And so we come to the wicked gate. Now, a wicked gate, I had to go and Google this, you know, Wiki the wicked gate. But Wiki is, a wicked gate is in a castle. You'd have this big fortress type of castle, and they would build a small little door in the side of the wall somewhere. And so when the castle was under siege, at night time, they actually used to sneak out and then raid the enemy camps through the wicked gate. They didn't want to open the whole full gate with the big porculus, whatever the thing is called, door. Okay. So they had this wicked gate, which is a small little gate. And next slide, thanks. And Christian comes to this, and it says, knock, and the door shall be opened. So he knocks a bit, and suddenly he comes under attack. And what it is Satan has put his little fortress right next door to the wicked gate. And any pilgrim that's on the way, he has a go at him. Woof! Fires his darts at him. And he, as he's knocking on the gate, this guy called Goodwill opens the door and yanks him in and pulls him to the other side. And the wicked gate, in essence, is Christ, the gate. So he has made this decision and a commitment. And what's happening is that Satan is trying to stop him. Because the last thing Satan wants is to, you've got to try and catch you before you make a commitment. Can I talk about what these flaming darts are now? But Matthew 7 says, enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, at least there's an encouraging number of footprints underneath the gate. But it is not easy because the gate is narrow. It is only through Christ. That's why it's a narrow gate. There's one way. And in the book, people try and jump over the wall and don't try and go through the gate, all sorts of things. Okay, the flaming arrows are Satan at his work. So what he does is he comes with these darts. Now, I try to research what some of these things are, and typically it's condemnation. You know, people, you stand at the door and say, look, I'm unworthy to become a Christian. That's Satan whispering in your ear. I've committed so much sin, I can't be saved. Okay, another lie from the devil. I've denied the Holy Spirit. I've done the one unforgivable sin or whatever it is. It's no place for me here. And Satan tries to stop you at this point with feelings of guilt, of being unworthy, of just not being good enough. And he's pretty good at it. But Goodwill yanks him through the door. Says, come, these are lies of the devil. Make a commitment. Give your life to the Lord now. And so a Christian does, and he gets through. Next slide. Carry on, sorry. Okay, so that's just the wrestling against flesh and blood and the whole principalities that are designed to try and stop us from getting to this point and make our life a little bit more interesting on the other side. And Goodwill asks him a couple of questions, and Goodwill is a gatekeeper. So what Goodwill is doing is, are you here for real, or are you messing around with this thing called Christianity? So, you know, Goodwill is a bit stern, but he's loving, but he's asking some tough questions like, you know, let's talk about this whole salvation thing. What do you really believe about Jesus? And it's coaching him and just becoming a gatekeeper, because you don't want someone with half their foot in on one side of the wicked gate and the other side, because then Satan's going to nail you with those arrows. And, you know, he talks about his friend that abandoned him or got scared and left him. And he says, you know, Goodwill says, don't you think it was worth a few risks to have reached the celestial city? So Goodwill saying, yeah, there's a price to pay, but it's worth it. It is worth it, this journey. Sorry, next slide. Okay. Don't worry, we're not going to do the whole thing. We're only going to get to halfway. Now he comes to the house of the interpreter. So I had an interesting debate on Bunyan's theology here, because we haven't come to the cross yet. You made a commitment, But he's still carrying this burden of sin. Now, I mean, surely if you are forgiven, your sin disappears. And what Bunyan was saying is that he didn't have a revelation yet, this pilgrim, of the grace of God. So yes, he's made a commitment, and yes, he's accepted Jesus into his life, and he is through the gate. So his salvation is there. He's already through into the other side of the gate. But he's still carrying, he's not wise enough to understand how God has dealt with the sin of that he's carrying at this stage. And so what this place of the interpreter is the Holy Spirit at work. So he comes to a house of, let's call it a place of teaching. And it's typically could be the church. It could be individuals that have an encounter. I mean, when I became born again or on my journey through, I had a friend who was, let's call him the evangelist, old Harry. And we used to debate these things. And from there, I used to get the teaching and understanding. Because I felt like I followed a similar sort of path. I made a commitment, yes, Lord, save me, you're my Lord. But I didn't understand or have the revelation or understanding of what to do about all the sin. Yes, my sins are forgiven, but do I truly understand and believe it? Sorry, carry on. And so he comes to the place where there's an interpreter. And basically, the Lord is shining. This is revelation by the Spirit. Because now that you're born again, the Spirit resides within him. So he has the Spirit that can give him revelation in Scripture. When you read the Bible and you're not a believer, it means nothing. It truly does. You struggle to understand some of the mysteries of the Scripture. But with the Holy Spirit inside of you, suddenly there's a light, and you'll see the light comes of revelation, and he starts understanding what Christ really did and what God really did through that revelation. And so this is a place of revelation. Where he starts, and the cobwebs are his soul. And with the grace of God, his soul is cleaned through this. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. So without being born again, you can't receive these things. They are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Only by the power of the Spirit can one who is by nature dead and blind see and understand the word of God. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And so at this point, he's starting to get revelation of the glory of God and how God has transformed his life. Next slide. Go back. Okay, one of the other lessons, I also misinterpreted this one until I'd gone back and read the book. But don't trust everything you read in a comic. But he comes to a place where he gets taught that this journey is not that easy. He is being prepared that there's more to this Christian life than just getting handouts from God, and that there's going to be a fight involved. And therefore, he's going to need to trust in the strength that God has given him. And to use 2 Corinthians 11:24 speaks about Paul and what he undergoes through the trials and tribulations of being born again. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. Night and day I have been floating in the deep, in journeys often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city. Great story this, okay? In perils in the wilderness, and so forth, false brethren. So there are physical and spiritual things that he is going through, trials and tribulations. Weariness and toil, in sleepless and often thirst, in fastings, often in cold and nakedness. But it is the Spirit within him that rises up for Paul to conquer this. God has given him inner strength. And so one of the teachings that he has and understanding is that this journey might not be that easy. God is not putting you on an easy road. For a reason, because he is molding him to become a fighter. And so God intentionally could prevent it, but there are going to be difficulties, and he's being taught that. Next slide. And we come to the cross. So, next slide. Okay, and we're gonna stop here at the cross. But he comes across the cross. And what he does is he comes across an understanding or a revelation of what it meant for Christ to die on the cross. So before he knew that Jesus would save him, but he did not fully comprehend what the cross actually meant and the sacrifice that Jesus died on the cross and the whole purchasing of sin. And as he has that revelation, the burden on his back gets taken by God and put down in the deep, as far as the east is from the west. I will know your sins no more. And the sin is gone. Poof! There goes his backpack over there. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. I'll put the brackets in Jesus in there. You won't find it in the Bible. And through him, Jesus, to reconcile to himself, that's God, all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood of Jesus. So what has happened? This verse is talking about God reconciling everything to him through Jesus. And Christian gets this revelation. Wow, man, I am free and free indeed. Sorry, next slide. And then he has an encounter with maybe people in the church or through the Holy Spirit. But what's happening is God starts, there are three things that happen at the point of the cross. One is that he is declared as being righteous by God. In the sight of God, he is righteous. His sins are gone. Second, the clothes that he has are replaced. A new garment is put on him. The new garment represents, the old garment represents the works that he tried to do to earn God's favor. They're gone. Now he has a gift of new clothing that Jesus puts on him through what Jesus has done on the cross. And then he is sealed. Whoops, go back. He is sealed by the Holy Spirit and given the word of God in his heart and set off on his journey again. Just bring that back. So where are we going with this? And now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. That's Joshua, who was the chief priest in the time of the Israelites. He was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Satan comes and accuses him. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away," this is God speaking, "take away the filthy garments from him." And then to him he said, "See, I've removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." So that's from Zechariah. That's Old Testament revelation of Christ coming and taking all the sins away to make Joshua, who represented the nation of Israel, holy in God's sight. And then the whole spirit of truth from the Holy Spirit. And in him you are sealed. So the pilgrim gets the seal of the Holy Spirit. And you can see he's now heading off on his journey, which is going to be a tough one, by the way. So I'm not going to steal part two. Next slide. But the pilgrim's progress. Okay, something's gone wrong. So we see our journey of our hero, who starts off without an identity, without a destination in life. And we see him being transformed into this person who has been freed from sin, is walking in freedom, who has got a direction and a purpose, and the complete bearing and change of that person. And the calling for me is that you have been or are this pilgrim. You've gone through this journey. You wouldn't be sitting here if you had not made a commitment towards Christ. Now, help the next pilgrim on their journey. So that's the call. And as Steve mentioned, next slide, well, not slide, but we're called to engage, equip, and empower. So what did evangelists do? Evangelists engaged with Christian when he was lost. And evangelists took him and pointed him in the direction of which, how to go. And somewhere in your life, you have spheres of influence, and God is calling you to take on the role of evangelist, to watch your mate and see if he starts slipping into works or slipping into uncertainty, to keep him on the track. And then equipping. So we see all along the journey, Christian is equipped. At the house of the interpreter, he has revelation of the word. And at the cross, he starts getting equipped with the word, with knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and also empowered. So now he's empowered at the cross. But it's a journey and a transformation that will take place as he carries on this. So in my own, what happened when I prepared this is I started thinking of my own life. and the journey that I'd been and all the people that God had thrown across my path for me to be here one day to come and preach to you. And I lost count of it. When I really started to think about all the people that had been placed along the route, some to be the evangelist, others to be the helper that pulled me out when I was really down, some that when I stepped off the path that brought correction and they got me back there, others to impart wisdom through the word, others to help me understand the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, others to give me fellowship when I was lonely on the road, others to feed me when I was hungry in terms of spiritual food. And so, just to close off, the challenge for next year is discipleship. And I like the Pilgrim's Progress. It shows us the journey that many of us have been on and the journey that many are going to follow. And so, I want to challenge you as a church and as a body of believers to, you've got two paths to play. Part two, which is the journey that we walk from being a Christian onwards, and it's a tough journey. There's lots of bloodshed. I won't show you the cartoon characters. But the whole aspect of getting believers to a point of commitment and empowering them, which we're going to be challenging. So I think we're going to close off there and stop right there. But I think let's just stand and close in prayer. I know we've had a real full program today, hey? So, and I'm sure you haven't seen a sermon preached in cartoon before. but anyway, let's just close our eyes and pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we are not alone and have never, ever been alone. And we thank you that there are many that are walking on the same path as us in different levels of maturity. And Father, Lord, I just pray by your Holy Spirit for our eyes to be opened and our ears to hear and see what you are doing. And Jesus said that he didn't do anything without seeing where God was at work, and then he joined him where he was at work. And Lord, I pray that we as a body of believers will see where you're working and join you in your work. And Lord, and then we will see lives changed as we co-labor with you, Father. And Lord, I just pray for any that feel that they've been on this journey and are stuck in different places. Maybe you're stuck in this slough of despond. Maybe you're standing with Mr. Worldly Wise and he's giving you advice that you actually are having to work and work and work for this free gift of salvation. And you're taking the wrong advice. Maybe you're standing at the door and you just can't bring yourself to knock on it. Maybe that's where you are today. It doesn't matter. We've been on this journey together and we're here to help. And the Lord is standing and he has already positioned people there for you. But if that's you, either come and meet us afterwards here in the front or just find a friend, because God has already put them in your life. He has, I know it. And they will take you on this journey together. The Pilgrim's Journey is not one that you do it with God one-on-one, but there's encounters all the way through. And Father, so I just pray and I thank you, Lord, that we are not alone, that you have mapped, you've called each one of us by name, each one of us by name, Lord, and you've set our feet on this path. You've set our feet on solid ground and pointed us in this direction, Lord, and we walk with you on this journey together. So, Lord, I just pray for everyone here that they have a fantastic week, a week where they would see the glory of God manifest in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.